Om Shanti. All of you, please sit alert as well as relaxed. We'll begin this session with a short meditation. Sitting on the top of a huge rock, the rock of physical existence, I am a doll of pure consciousness. I look around and I see a vast ocean, an immensely peaceful, placid ocean. I hear the sound of the waves. I, a pure doll of consciousness, now decide to embark on a new journey. To know the ocean. What ocean is this? What is its nature? How deep it is? I want to know today, and which is why I decide to plunge into this ocean. And with that thought, I jump into this ocean. A deep ocean. And I'm entering into this ocean now. One layer after another. This is the ocean of knowledge. All around me, this encircling glory of knowledge. And as I enter inside this ocean is entering into me. These deep waters, all knowledge, all wisdom, all experiences, everything is becoming a part of my being. And I look around everywhere, up, down, right, left, this encompassing ocean of knowledge. And I experience myself getting filled with this knowledge. And I continue to dive deep. And I enter the second layer. This is the ocean of purity. Such stainless purity. Everywhere around me, such immaculate purity. And this purity is also becoming a part of my being. float in this ocean of purity. I swim in this ocean of purity. As if I feel I am fast dissolving into this ocean. I enter further deep down, the third layer, the ocean of peace. Such an affable peace. Absolute silence. A deep peace, full atmosphere. And this peace is entering me. And I am becoming as peaceful as this ocean. What ocean is this? I ponder and I dive deep. And now I find myself much below, into this ocean of happiness. Everywhere I feel myself getting drowned in this happiness. A deep reservoir of happiness. I am becoming the very embodiment of happiness. I go further down, the ocean of love, the loveful waves around. Such unfathomable depths of love. And I am sinking in this love, the love divine, the highest love, the very ocean of love. I go further down and enter into this sixth layer, the ocean of bliss. Oh, what ecstasy, what rapture. Such blissful experience. I, the doll of consciousness. Again I'm feeling I'm getting merged, as if getting lost in this ocean of bliss. I enter further deep down, the ocean of powers, the omnipotence. And I am getting filled with all the powers. I am becoming a superhero. I am the one with all the powers. I am the master, almighty, authority. And I perceive this ocean is none but my father, a point of light, and yet such unfathomable depths within, and I am lost in him. Now I come out as Master, Almighty Authority. All powers are within me. And as I enter the karma kshetra, the field of action, I see myself moving around. All my karma bandhan, bondages, have dissolved. I see myself moving around as karma yogi. My karma indriya, physical organs, have become calm. All the karma sambandh, all my relationships and all my connections have been divinized. Such a life of karma yogi, where I am the master almighty authority. And with that consciousness, and with this awareness, with this awakened and enlightened state of the mind, I, the doll of consciousness, come back in the awareness of this body and to move around in this world as Shakti Sena, fully charged, completely mindful and enlightened. Om Shanti. So we are here today to revise today morning's Avyakta Murli. So this Murli is based on what? Karma. Karma is a Sanskrit word, and when it is translated into English, it becomes karma, just as Krishna becomes Krishna, or Vedanta becomes Vedanta, or Sanskar becomes Samskara, or Sansar becomes Samsara. Before I begin this talk, I'll begin with a very short story. There was once a king, and he was getting older. So he asked his son, who was about to succeed him, to go and learn the art of living, to go and learn the art of morality from one old master. And the king tells his son that the person to whom I am sending you is my master also. So you go to him, he will teach you what is life, he will teach you what is morality. So the son goes, and he finds out that the person to whom he has come is not actually a saint, is not actually a person of morality, but he was a master of archery. So he wonders, why my father has sent me to this man? So he meets that master and he tells him, I have been sent by my father to learn about morality. Please teach me fast because I am in hurry. So the old master says, you will have to wait. My methods are very different. I am not going to teach you the manner you thought. My methods are absolutely weird, absurd. So he cannot go empty-handed, the son, so he decides to stay there. And the son asks that, master, what I have to do? He says, you will have to pass through certain tests. The first test is for 1 month. In that test, you have to remain alert, because I am going to hit you with this sword anytime. This is a wooden sword. And your job is to protect yourself. And I am going to hit you at any time. So you better remain alert. You have to save yourself. So the prince, young prince, agrees to that. And in 1 month, the master also says, there are many people who came in the past and they had a lot of fractures. Because though it is wooden, but it is very heavy sword. So be alert. So, in that 1 month, whilst sometimes he is sweeping the floor, suddenly the master comes from behind and hits him. Sometimes he is gardening, he is in the garden, the master comes from behind and hits him. So, he doesn't understand what is this happening. His whole body is aching everywhere. At night he cannot sleep because whole day he is hit by his master so many times. The moment he is unaware, the master comes at that moment and hits him. So the whole day he is getting hit. Here, there, sometimes back, sometimes leg, sometimes head. But he finds that as the days pass by, he starts becoming more and more alert. Now he can recognize when his master is approaching. And he finds out the way to save himself. And it so happens after 1 month, for the first time, he is not hit by his master for a single time. Because every time the master comes, he becomes alert and he saves himself. So the master calls him and tells him, this is your first test. You have passed. Now the second test is even harder. You are seeing this is a wooden sword. Now it will be replaced by real sword. So you better be more alert. So the prince is little worried. But still he is little more confident now. Because he thinks that yes, I can save myself. And for next 1 month, the master tries to hit him with that real sword. But he saves himself. Not a single time he is hurt. So 1 month also passes. The master calls him again. And he tells him, you have passed the second test. Now the third test, which is even more difficult. What that could be? He says, till now I was hitting you when you were awake. Now I am going to hit you when you are asleep. So better be more alert. So it was easy for him to save himself whilst he was awake. But how to save oneself once one is sleeping? So the prince is sleeping and suddenly the master comes any time in the night and hits him. First with wooden sword. And in a month many times he is hit. Many times. But he realizes that some power is rising in him. Some intuition, some awakening is happening throughout the spirit within him. That he now understands, even whilst he is sleeping, he now understands the approach, the footstep, the presence of his master around. He is sleeping but he is not sleeping. Because the level of awareness has increased to such an extent that he knows now, any time master would be around and he would hit me. So 1 month passes. And then it happens that for 20 whole night he is not hit once. So next day master calls him and tells him, you have passed this test also. Now the real test is, this was a wooden sword. Now it will be replaced by real. If you miss, you are gone. If it hits you. So this time the prince is little more worried. And that day, in the afternoon, he sees that his master is sitting near a tree and reading something. And the prince starts thinking, this man is testing me from last 3 months. Let me also test him. What is his level of awareness? Is he aware? He is teaching me what is awareness. Let me also see what happens to him. If I will also attack him from behind and let me see how he saves himself. The moment he says this, the master who was sitting at about 25 feet, he turns around and says, my child, don't ever think of that. I am an old man. Look at my old body, my fragile body. Please don't think of hitting me. So he earlier he had a sort of anguish for this master because his father has told him to learn morality and he had come to learn about life, but he is not learning anything about life. He was learning something else. Or rather something else was awakening within him. When the master says that, he just reaches the master and falls at his feet and says, please, I am sorry. But I want to ask, how do you know this? I have yet not said this. I just had thought about it to test you and you recognize that. He said, the master says, my level of awareness has risen to that level that whatever you think, whatever others think, that also I can now read immediately. And so, the prince goes away. Evening, the last test was at night. Evening, that prince immediately comes to that master and says, you are about to hit me after 5 minutes. Are you going to do that? He says, yes, I was about to finish this book and come and hit you. So, the master says, now you have passed the test. Because I was about to think and you caught that, what I was about to do. So, looking at this story, the prince came for awakening. So, at last the prince asked, but I have not learnt anything about morality. He says, your lesson is finished. Now you can go. You have become a man of awareness. And it is not possible for a man of awareness to be corrupt, immoral, to do any unrighteous action. Because the conscious level has reached to such an extent that he is aware every moment, beat to beat. To such a high level of awareness. So he comes back. His father meets him and father tells him that archery was just a means. Actually, I sent you to that master just to learn this level of awareness. Whatever we do in life, if that is done with that level of awareness, that action, that karma can never be wrong. Karma, when we translate into English, it can mean work or deed or action. Which is a better word? Work, deed, action. Action is better. So we will use the word action. Before I enter into Mudli, let's first dwell around the word karma. There are three types of karma as per the Eastern analysis. There are different philosophers have been around the world, Eastern and Western. In Eastern philosophy, they talk about three different types of karmas. And before we enter into today's Murli, we need to understand what are these three types of karma. First karma is known as Sanchit. These are the Sanskrit words. Second type of karma is Prarabdha. And third type of karma is Kriyaman. So first type of karma is known as Sanchit. Sanchit means something which is accumulated. Over the period of many lives, not one birth, but whatever you have done, whatever in whatever manner you have reacted, sum total of everything is what is known as Sanchit. All things, whatever you have done in all your births, that is they call as Sanchit. Second is known as Prarabdha. Prarabdha is something which sum total of all your actions and reactions of this birth. Of the present birth, whatever you have done from your childhood, in whatever manner you have reacted, and that everything is here, recorded in the soul. Nothing goes away. Everything is there. And last is Kriyaman. Kriyaman karma is that karma, what I am doing right now or today, this moment. If suppose somebody comes and insults me and I react, and I start fighting, arguing with him, have a conflict, give way to casting aspersions on him and all those things. So, this action, this Kriyaman karma is getting added to that Prarabdha and Prarabdha is getting added to that reservoir of Sanchit. So, I am creating a new account. If suppose I don't react, I stay calm, I am not creating an account. So, whatever we do, whatever we think, whatever we speak, whatever feelings we generate, everything is, as the psychologists call it, is getting registered. Is getting registered. Nothing goes away. Everything is getting registered. So that's why when we talk of karma, it doesn't mean only what we do. It's not just actions. It's also what we think. what we feel. We are creating karma every time. So karma is that deep philosophy. You have heard about karma philosophy, cause and effect philosophy, quite often spoken of, as you sow, so shall you reap, and so many things like that. So these three concepts are quite important. Whatever we do is getting accumulated. Whatever we think, getting accumulated. That's why when we talk of the elevated karmas or exalted karmas, I can think of about six to seven things. And that has been discussed quite often in Murlis. It comes, which karma you will call, which actions are the elevated actions? Yeah, what is the answer? What are the elevated actions? Which actions you will call elevated actions? Yeah? What are those actions which can be termed as elevated actions? One, all the actions done in soul consciousness. We will take out about seven definitions. All the actions which are done in soul consciousness, or you can say self-respect or whatever. So all those actions automatically become elevated. One. Second, all those actions done in remembrance of God or God consciousness or remembrance of Baba, they are elevated actions. Third, all those actions as per the Srimad. All those actions which are according to Srimad, they all are elevated actions. Fourth, anybody? What are the elevated actions or exalted actions? Highest? Virtues, okay. Still? Yeah? Dharana, that is come into Srimad. Srimad includes all the dharanas. Good wishes, yeah. Then, what actions could be called elevated? Baba has said many times, selfless actions. Actions which are done for the benefaction of the world. Though we cannot become 100% selfless, but as much selfless as possible. All those actions are elevated actions. Then, fifth is, all those actions done with a feeling of being an instrument. I am not doing, he is doing through me. So that sense of being an instrument, you know, this part of being an instrument, this we have to indent firmly in our mind. It should go so deep into the cerebral cortex, very depth of the soul, that we are just instruments. Otherwise, we become vain, prideful. Another is, all the actions done with humility. Baba has many Murlis are there, Nimitta and Nirman, humility. And last, Trikaldarshi. When we do anything, keeping the three aspects of time in mind, automatically our actions become elevated. There are many other points to this, but we will keep these 7 points in mind. Now we will go into Murli. So, this Murli is all about actions. This Murli is all about actions. Baba has used different words like Karma Yoga, means Karma Yogi. Whilst we are working, we are having yoga. Karma Yogi. Second, Karma Kshetra. This is a karmic, this is a field. Third, Karma Bhog. Karma Yoga, Karma Bhog. Whatever you do, you have to bear the effect of it. The result, whatever results, whatever you do, results would come. Karma Bhog. Karma Indriya. The sense organs. So these are the different words Baba has used. Karma Sambandh. When we come in contact with each other. And Baba has said that your actions, how much those actions, in those actions you have imbibed all the powers. Baba is almighty authority. He is seeing the Shakti Sena today. So how much powers we have imbibed. You cannot say that I have all the powers, but while I go to work, I forget everything. Baba has given the example of a soldier. A person who says that, yes, I am very strong, I am very powerful, and he goes in the battlefield and gets defeated. Who will believe that he is powerful? Baba has also given another example, a person who sits at home and he says, I am very clever. And he never goes out. Just like you must have heard about in Spanish, that literature, they talk of Don Quixote. He was reading and reading and reading, reading books about chivalry, books about valor, books about all those knights or those warriors. And he starts thinking that I have become that great knight and I have to save the world. It is shown there that he goes and hits the windmill thinking it is a demon and he gets hurt. So that sort of thing, when we say that I am Master Almighty Authority, all those powers, how much I have imbibed within myself? This is the question Baba has asked in today's Murli. We have to ask this question to ourselves, how much powers I have imbibed? How much powerful I am while I am in my field of work? See, Brahmin life, if you see, if you analyze, we have Amrit Vela, we have Murli, we have breakfast. Till that time, everybody is powerful. Everyone is very powerful till that time. Because there is hardly any Maya there. They might be there, that is a different thing, but not that fierce form of Maya that comes throughout the day. So, you have got up, you had a very good yoga, you had a very good communication, you had the experience of bodilessness, and you feel you are an angel moving around. Everybody so calm, the whole world looks like is my family and all those things, all those thoughts, elevated thoughts are always in your mind. So also when you are listening to Murli, your state of the mind is high, or also when you are having breakfast, till then it's okay. The moment you enter the work field, there conflict starts. Baba says, when you come in contact, because actions would be known only when you come in contact, in relationship with others, that time only it will be known how powerful you are, how much powers you have imbibed. Baba has said, don't use knowledge just as points, but use them as weapon. Use them as weapon. How much powerful I have become throughout the day. How much I have imbibed this imbibition of all the powers. To what extent it is in me. That is very important. So, and this doesn't happen. Another very good question which we are going to discuss today is, Baba has said, when you see somebody's actions, from that you get to know about his weaknesses. You also get to know something about his virtues. So, the point of churning is, whenever we see somebody's action, we see what things we get to know about that person. A person is acting and we see his actions. So what are those points or what are those things we get to know about that person? Yeah? How happy he is, yes. By looking at a person you can know how happy he is. One. Second. Yeah? Peaceful. How peaceful he is. Whether there is a conflict which is going on and that is making him all the more peaceless. So peace. Then? Yeah? Yeah? Yes? How truthful he is. Very good. How truthful that person is. You know, there was one philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche. He has said a very beautiful thing about truth. He says that every man is in search of truth. Every man is searching truth. But what he loves in his heart of heart is what? Lies, deceptions and pretensions. This is what he is surrounded by and that is what he likes. He desires deceptions. He desires lies. He desires all pretensions. Though he says that on the surface, I am in search of truth, I want to know truth. But somehow, deep down, he is drowned in all lies. And even we don't know, are we true or there are lies inside. Sometimes people say that as if psychologists believe that we live a split personality. We are divided into so many different persons. We are not one person. And sometimes it's so confusing to find out who I am. So many masks we are wearing. Different masks. Who is the real me? Who is the real me? So, coming back to the same question, what all things we get to know when we see somebody's action? One is, she said, truth. Then, how truthful that person is. Then, how virtuous a person is. What is his integrity? Then, personal integrity. How tense he is. Then, yes, brother. What we get to know when we see somebody's actions. Actions are so important. Baba is saying that these actions are the mirror of the soul. These actions are in fact reflecting the soul. So what awareness these actions are, we can get to know whether the person is conscious or unconscious. Consciousness means soul consciousness. Unconsciousness means body consciousness. Whether he is in a state of body consciousness or soul consciousness, that we also get to know. Level of awareness, level of mindfulness, level of alertness. How much alert he is towards Srimat, towards all the dharanas of Brahmin life. Everything we get to know. So, anything more? This topic can go on and on, because there are so many things we get to know from others' actions, and that's why actions are so important. See, most of the Murlis, most of the Avyakta Murlis, they are, Baba is talking about thoughts or words. This is after some long time, I will say, Baba is focusing on actions, on karmas. And there is a very beautiful statement in Murli, which is a little other way around. Always we believe that thoughts first and then words or actions, or thoughts and then words and actions together. So thoughts are the seed and they give rise to actions. Today's Murli, at one point Baba has said, if actions go down, intellect and thoughts, intellect, mind and intellect will go down. Other way around also. It's other way around also. If actions go down, they will pull down, just as the gravity has given the example of gravity, just as gravity pulls down, so also your actions will pull down your intellect and your mind. These are the subtle energies, but that will pull down. In the morning also we were discussing this topic, what actions we should do so that those actions done directly can lead to elevated thoughts. Thoughts generate action, that is one thing. But actions, what are those actions which we should do so that in turn they generate higher thoughts? Are there some actions like that? Have you ever thought of such actions where you straight away do the action and after doing that action then you start having elevated thoughts? Yeah? Creating beautiful thing, very right. Creativity. You create new things, like an artist, like a poetry. An artist creates a picture, like a poet creates a poetry. Or, if suppose this Murli is there and you convert this Murli into a drill, a spiritual drill, entire Murli you convert into a spiritual drill. Any form of creativity, any form of creativity will give rise, that is an action. After doing that, then you will have a deep sense of satisfaction. You know, there was a great artist, Michelangelo. There's a very beautiful thing about his life. Once he had gone to a shop, and in front of that shop, there was a huge rock which was there. So he sees that rock and he asks the shopkeeper, what is the cost of this rock? The shopkeeper says, this rock, it is just lying like this. It's of no use. What should I do? I was thinking of somehow to remove this big boulder which is here. The Michelangelo says, I want it. Please give this to me. And he takes that rock home. After about 1 year, that shopkeeper, that friend comes to his house and he finds a beautiful statue. That statue was still there in Vatican City, which was, I think, lately destroyed. It was Mother Mary, who after the Christ was crucified, the Mother Mary takes Christ down and Christ is in her lap. You must have seen that picture of Mother Mary. So that friend asked that to Michelangelo, how you did that? How you created this beautiful statue? So Michelangelo says, this is the same rock I had taken out from your place. And still the friend insists, how you could do it? He says, when I had come to your shop and when I saw this rock, I saw from that rock, I heard the voice of Jesus Christ. He was crying out, Michelangelo, free me. He heard that voice from that rock, and this inspiration made him to create that beautiful statue. So creativity, anything we do creative, after doing that, then we will start having positive thoughts. Even after that. Okay? So this is straight action and giving rise to thoughts and then words. One. Second, what are those direct actions? After doing that, then we generate some positivity. Humility. Helping. Yeah. Very. Helping somebody. Okay. Suppose it is an international yoga. If Sunday evening you are going and you find that somebody is sick at 6:30. Your room partner is not well. You are about to go towards Shantistam for yoga and you find your room partner is sick. And you decide now what to do. This is a great problem, dilemma, whether to go for yoga or to take care of this person. So, if you take care of that person, if you take him to the hospital, if you help that person, helping anybody, all acts of help, charity, punya, they can generate better thoughts. And this is very important. Suppose sometimes we go down, we are depressed, have some frustrating thoughts, go out and start helping people. Automatically after doing that work, straight action, and then action will generate positive thoughts. Any other? So helping. Then, what are the other actions? Discussing knowledge. Straight. You are feeling very down. You don't want to listen to Murli. You don't want to revise Murli or read it. You have heard it once somehow, something very faintly you have heard it. But now when you find, you sit with somebody and start discussing. Unless and until you discuss this knowledge doesn't become clear. In one of the Murlis, Baba has said, one of the duties of all the Brahmins is to discuss this knowledge. Unless and until you discuss this knowledge, facts, you cannot understand it completely, that clarity never comes. This knowledge is a deep philosophical knowledge. It requires a great amount of discussion, churning. You know, something different, but there are three words. One is concentration, another is contemplation, and third is meditation. Is there any difference in these three? When we translate from Hindi word is dhyan. Dhyan is roughly translated as meditation. Some people also call it contemplation or concentration. But these are three different words. And actually dhyan word can never be translated. It has its own beauty and own fragrance. In China they call it chan, or in Japan they call it zen. So all these three words are little similar. Zen in Japan, chan in China, and dhyan in Hindu. But when they translate that into English, they become something like concentration, contemplation, or meditation. But these are three different things. They are not that dhyan. Dhyan is that highest level of awareness. It's a state of as if no mind or no thought. What the soul experiences in supreme abode, Paramdham. There are no thoughts. That Baba has said in this today's Murli also. This is the field. This world is known as world of actions. That world is known as world beyond action. But that world is also beyond thoughts. So dhyan is something which is a volcanic yoga. The state of the soul in supreme abode. Where all thoughts have dropped. Nothing has remained there. So that is the state of this dhyan. So I was thinking about these three words. First is meditation. Second is concentration. Second is meditation. And third is meditation. What is the difference? Is concentration alone constitutes meditation? No. Concentration means you are concentrating on something. Suppose I am concentrating on this flower or on this mobile. So this is just concentration. Just focusing on one thing. Only seeing one thing. That is concentration. Contemplation is little higher, or I will say little deeper. You are focused, at the same time you are seeing that thing from different perspective. But you are thinking about it. So that's why little higher. First is concentration, you go ahead, you reach contemplation. You are contemplating or mulling over it. You are thinking deeply, churning can come into this. Churning about something. Manthan, manan, what Baba says. Even higher than that is meditation. Meditation is not just concentration, but concentration is included in that. Meditation is not even contemplation, because meditation is that object is there and you are there, you are so much lost in that. It is not just, you are no more just churning about it, not even all the aspects, but as if you are trying to become one with that. That is something which we can put meditation into. It is yoga. Yoga means union, to become one. Okay, so these are the three different words. We'll come back to what we were discussing. So, helping others, going for group discussion. Whenever you feel down, what you have to do is find somebody and start discussing Murli. This is the best way. Or Manohar Indra Dadi was there. If any sister would come to her and the sister says, I am very depressed, Dadi would say, go and give 7-day course. That will uplift your spirit. Go to the museum and start explaining all the pictures. These are the different ways. Okay. What are the other ways? Yeah? Karma Yoga. Yes, very good. When you feel little down, you can go and start doing physical service. All the physical service. Because after doing that, you will feel very much satisfied. Start helping others or doing physical service. It could be cutting vegetables, it could be anything. That gives you a sense of satisfaction, contentment within you. Okay? Then, any other last point? Music. Yeah, music. Music, songs, you know. This Baba has said recently, the way to fulfill the responsibility of love is singing and dancing. Recently there was a Murli. The way to fulfill the responsibility of love is singing and dancing. So our life is all about singing and about dancing. Even physical songs and physically we are dancing. Even that will uplift the spirit. Okay? So here. So coming back to Murli, Baba is saying, actions. You say that you are embodiment of all powers. You are master, almighty authority. So, it should appear from your actions that yes, your actions should reflect the state of your soul, that awareness of your soul, the highest exalted form of your soul, from your actions. It should not happen like that soldier, or you should be not like the person who says that I am very clever. Who will believe otherwise? Who will believe that you are very strong, you are very powerful? No. Now, Baba has talked about, this doesn't happen always because there is weakness. Now we'll come to another part of the Murli, that is about one's weakness. And what we do with our weaknesses. Different categories Baba has given. Some people hide their weakness. Some ignore their weakness. Some talk about their weakness whenever there is a virtue-filled gathering. Whenever there is such virtue-filled gathering, or whenever there is a gathering of people who are like the same effort makers as you are. That time they talk, but they talk in a very superficial manner. Like they say, oh, I miss Amrit Vela every day, what should I do? This is a very serious affair, but they talk it in a very light manner. In a very light manner. See, getting up for Amrit Vela just is not enough, but to have a very strong and very powerful Amrit Vela is what is required. Because this Brahmin life means super sensuous bliss. If you are doing service, that's very good. But if you are not experiencing that super sensuous bliss, if you are not experiencing that lightness, that experience of the soul is not so cheap. Change of clothes or change of food merely is not going to give you that experience. It requires a very rigorous sadhana, practice. Then only it happens. Otherwise, no. So, to talk about one's weakness in a very superficial manner. Some people talk in a very superficial manner. Some hide, some ignore. And some say that we will do it later on. Some say it is not possible. It is very hard. Many things they give. Many excuses they give. But to have that experience, everybody must have sat near Shantistam for you, evening yoga. All of you? Yeah? All of you? Just raise the hand. Who had experienced that recently, maybe yesterday or day before yesterday? What was the experience there? Sweet. Then? Peace. Then? Light. Then? You see that atmosphere, that evening? What is there? What a magical atmosphere. Everything so still. Such a beautiful atmosphere. This is the melody of silence around. Look at those trees, those chirping of the birds that time. So silent, so calm, as if those trees are sitting in meditation. Those careening twigs and branches, the entire Brahmin family around, everybody is lost in love. Those white-clad brothers and sisters around. What a beautiful experience. But one experience is not enough. Almost to have that experience every day, whether you are in Madhuban or not in Madhuban, still to have the same experience, still that same melody of same sweetness of soul consciousness. What divine thoughts are emanating in the mind? What beauty, what ecstasy, what rapture, what sense of freedom? Can you get any such atmosphere anywhere in the world? It's impossible. It's impossible, next to impossible. But what we have to do is try to experience this atmosphere. Try to create such state of the mind where we can detach ourselves from the body. Here, we are easily held by this atmosphere. But this atmosphere may not remain. Once you go to your countries, one thing I always tell to all the people who don't stay here, once you go to your country, every day, twice you should come to Madhuban. Make it a point that twice you should visit Madhuban, all the four places of Madhuban. Baba has said, if you want to become powerful, come to Shantistam. If you have a lot of waste thoughts, negative thoughts, go to History Hall. If you want to become like Father, go to Baba's room. And if you are depressed, go to Baba's hut. So we will again sit in meditation for 3 minutes and let's visit these four places from here. I will repeat in meditation. Radiant light. I am a soul sitting in the middle of the forehead, so peaceful and so calm. I assume the angelic body and fly out. I'm going away from this earthly existence. I have reached in front of Avyakta Bap Dada in subtle world. He has kept his hand of blessing on my head. And I hear his voice. May you be a master, almighty authority. With this blessing, I come down. And I move around, encircling the earth, touring around the earth, in a state same as that of Father, gradually I descend down. Amidst this beautiful mountains of Aravali, the lush greenery around, I descend down and I see this beautiful Madhuvanam, the land of angels. This land of tapasya, this land of purity, I descend down, the gentle breeze I feel, and I go near Shanti Stambh. And Baba is telling me, child, if you want to become powerful, come to Shanti Stambh every day with your subtle body. Take all powers from me. And I'm feeling charged standing here. Then I move out from there, I reach the history hall. Again I hear Baba's voice, child, if you want to become free from all wastes, come to history hall. And I find myself getting filled with all powerful thoughts. The blessing of all my ancestors are upon me in the same angelic body. Then I fly out and come to Baba's room. This sense of intimacy, this divine proximity with the Supreme Father. I hear him say, child, if you want to become like me, come every day to Baba's room. Then I move from there and I reach Baba's hut. Child, if you feel alone, if any time you feel depressed, come to me. Have heart-to-heart communication with me. I am your friend, your companion, your everything. Share with me everything. What a divine pilgrimage. I, the angel, am feeling empowered. And gradually I come back into this body. Om Shanti. So everybody has to do this drill, right? Once you go to your place, how many times you will come to Madhuban? When? Morning and evening. You can come at other times also. In emergency situations also you can come. When the emergency arises in life, immediately leave everything and fly and come here and you will get the answer. Okay? So Baba is talking about weaknesses. Know the seed of weakness and burn it. That is for Baba's answer. Know the seed of weakness and burn it. So long as that weakness is there, your actions are not going to be powerful. Because there is some or other weaknesses. Thoughts and actions. There are so many things in between. Vices. Some sanskars of vices. Some old sanskars. Some limitations. So many things are there. That's why we think high, but that doesn't translate into actions. What are the reasons? What are my weaknesses? What are my internal fears? What are those unknown fears? What are those sanskars? Is there laziness? Is there carelessness? What is it exactly? And nobody knows. Baba has challenged medical field here. He says that doctors don't know what is the seed of illness and they keep on treating superficially. So that's how they do. They keep on pruning the trunks or branches, but they leave the tree seed as it is, and that's why when the water of circumstances come, it gets the water and again the tree is grown up. So everybody should draw a tree of weakness, one's own, not your neighbor's. Okay? You should draw a tree of weakness. This is my tree of weakness. This is the seed. These are the roots. This is the trunk. These are the branches. And this is the flowers or whatever. Why I committed such a sinful act in past? There must be some weakness. There must be some suppression of some desires, some sensuality. Something was there that had given rise to this. What is that subtle seed? Baba is saying, know the seed and burn the seed. Rather, knowing the seed is tantamount to burning the seed. But know it fully. It could be lust, it could be anger, it could be any vice for that matter, jealousy. It could be anything. We have to know that seed fully. Know the seed and burn it. Now the question is how to burn it. I have got to know that I have one weakness. Yes. I have carelessness or I have... I am very sensitive. The moment somebody says something, I feel depressed. I feel inferiority complex comes in me so often. I feel insecure. Insecure about my future, insecure about everything. I am always playing the victim card. Somehow I am becoming, self-victimization is occurring. I always feel that this is because of me. Inferiority complex, self-victimization or inferiority complex or superiority complex. What is it? Some insecurity, some fear, some unknown, hidden fears. Something is there within. There is a weakness and that weakness alone gives rise to such a reaction. Somebody insults me, I can't stand that. Everything is finished. My yoga is finished, everything is finished. If somebody corrects me, I don't like that. If somebody comes and says to me that I saw you were sleeping in yoga in the morning, he becomes my enemy for the rest of the life. Though he has taken such a big risk to correct me. At the stake of that beautiful relationship he has come and he tried to correct me, but he became my enemy for the rest of the life. What weakness is there? Some weakness is always there. Little. We need to study those weaknesses. And for that you require a very, very sharp and very critical spiritual mind. Analytical mind. You have to do a self-analysis. So know the weakness, analyze the weakness, think about that weakness, think about its origin. The origin might be in childhood. Some childhood trauma. How it came. You have to see your own life. See your life as a picture. You know, in movies they see, they show biopics. Biopic means based movie based on the life of some person. So see your own life. This is where I was born. This is, I grew up. At this point of time, I came in knowledge. And after coming in knowledge also, so many upheavals. What were the reasons for that? Is it I should blame circumstances, or they are my own faults or my own failings? Who is responsible for that? Why at this point of time I got so depressed? What attracted me? Is it sensuality? Is it body? Is it some wealth? Is it some wild goose chase for some position? What it is? This decision everybody has to take. What are my weaknesses? What is the seed of that weakness? And what are the nutrients? From where that seed is getting the nutrients? Is it some person? I have good wishes for everybody, but one person is there, I don't like that person. The moment that person comes in front of me, something starts happening. In our OPD, once a sister had come, and she says, I get chest pain here. Okay, I started taking the history. I asked her, when do you get the chest pain? She says that a particular soul comes in front of me and I start getting chest pain. Only that time. Otherwise, no. What should I do? Give some treatment. So we did her all the tests, ECG, and everything was normal. But her complaint was this. It is not there. The moment that soul is in front of me, and I hear her voice, I start having palpitation or chest pain here. We can't stand other person. That's why this good wishes and pure feeling is such an important thing. Though we keep on saying that we have, but if you actually analyze, we might not have. The stock is less. The stock is less. So, search on this. How do we do that? See, most of the things in our Vedas, they have given a very good example. Once it happened that all the great saints sat together and they started discussing about the origin of the universe. And there was so much commotion, so much ruckus there. Everybody was telling his own theory. So ultimately what was decided, that everybody goes in silence and does meditation. In the meditation only you will get to know what is the truth. One is churning about what is my weakness, how is my weakness, and all those things. But I have seen that, or this is an experience, that most of the things are touched to you in the state of deeper meditation. In today's Murli, question number 2. How will you know that this is Baba's touching or your own whims and fancies you want to project as Baba's touching? What is it? 3 things Baba said in that. If these 3 things are there, take this as Baba's touching. What are they? First, Baba's touching would be very powerful. Second, it will always lead to success. And third, it will be very clear. Suppose these things are not happening, so? But we should not give up. All the ultimate truths of the universe, of our own weakness or ways or means or everything, whatever problems we have in our lives, all answers will come to you from Baba. In a state of deeper meditation. Others might help you. That is different thing. Others might help you. That's it. Recently in one of the Avakta Murli, Baba has said, go to the somebody who is of a higher spiritual caliber, tell him everything, and then he will give you some answer. Take help so that you can take help from Father. Help for help. Ultimately, souls sometimes become so down because you come to a standstill. You can't even take help from Father. That time take help from somebody. But that help is help for help, so that you can take help from Father. So, Baba's touching would be very powerful. Baba's touching would be very clear. Baba's touching, whenever it is there, it will lead to success. So, as regards weakness, I have seen that the more we increase our soul consciousness, automatically that answer comes to us. As soon as we, just as that prince, he started becoming more and more aware, and something in him rose, and now he started understanding things. He did not ask. That master never taught him any chapter of spirituality at all, but he became moral because he became self-aware. So So in the similar manner, the way to eliminate all the weaknesses is more self-checking, self-reflection, silence, solitude, introspection. These are the three words in spirituality without which progress is not possible. Silence. You have to go into deep silence. Solitude. You have to enter into deep solitude, a cave of solitude. And third, introspection. Deep introspection, deep self-checking. Without that, spiritual life is not possible. Or you continue to have the same weakness for another 10 years or 20 years, which you had at the time when you came in Gyan, in knowledge. Every day should find us ahead of yesterday. Every tomorrow ahead of today. That's what the saying goes. So, about the touching. What was the first question Baba asked? First question was about world tour that we did just now. What is the world tour? Two ways. Go to a higher place. Just as Baba said, picture of Shri Krishna. It's on the higher, top. And when you are at the higher place, you can see the world as a small ball. So that time you can do. So you get situated in the stage of unlimited. Just as Father is unlimited in that stage of world benefactor. That time you can do world tour. One. Second, assume an angelic body and do a world tour. That is the first question. Second question was touching. What was the third question? Surrendered intellect. How do you say that somebody is surrendered with his intellect? What are the signs? That intellect would be according to Srimad. Whatever that person says, he will like. Others will also like. And he will be contented. There would not be any question of what is wrong and what is right. Decision making power will come. Because if you see throughout the day, you have to just keep on taking decision. Just as you are sitting in the class, immediately now, after the class, you have to take a decision what I have to do. Whether I should go straight away for food or first I go to Baba's room. Every moment there is decision. Every moment there is decision you have to take in life. So all decision makings, if they are according to Srimad, that is, others will also say that this man has got clear and surrendered intellect. So that is the answer. What is the fourth question? Why people leave the Gyan? After staying here for a long time. Why? Three reasons. First, no balance. Second, weaknesses. They hide the weaknesses. And third, conflicts. Conflicts of sanskaras. In one of the Murlis, Baba has said, you must know each and every leaf of this tree. At least those leaves of our department. At least leaves of our family, or center, or place, or village, or city. You must know the sanskars of all the people who are around you, because you have to work with them. It's not a negative thing, but you must know their sanskars. Suppose a person is there who is very sensitive. You just say one word to that person and that person feels hurt. Now your intention was not to hurt that person, but that person feels hurt. Now what are you going to do? You just say that, you just correct that person, this should be done this way, not that way, and that person feels hurt and depressed for another 2 days. And tells you that you are responsible for that. Then, what to do? So, you have to know the sanskars of different souls who are around you. So, sanskar conflict. Baba said that if there is a lot of conflict, don't stay there, just go away from that place. Then balance. People don't keep balance. They are drowned so much into service. They are lost. I have seen many people, they do so much service, but they have no time for meditation, no time for churning of knowledge. They just are into service. That's it. No doubt they are doing very good service, but that is not everything. You have to have a very strong grip of this knowledge. You have to have a very strong study of all the Murlis. Because knowledge is a weapon. There otherwise you just are stranded in the face of circumstances. Because life is about uncertainties. Anything can happen anytime. We never know what is going to happen. The one who is a friend becomes an enemy next day. Then how do you tackle that situation? Somebody may oppose you, criticize you, insult you, talk against you, deride you, Anything can happen. Laugh at you, tease you, mock you. All the situations, you need a very strong grip of knowledge. Without that, you can't remain stable, immovable, unshakable. It's not possible. So very strong grip of knowledge, and for that you require a very strong churning, and for that you require again those three things: silence, solitude, introspection. These three things are very, very important in this life. So this is the fourth question. What is the fifth question? Land. About land. Souls are not coming. So Baba's, what is Baba's answer? Use all the facilities first of all. If in spite of that they are not coming, that might be the problem of land. But then what you have to do is take help. There might be your own weakness because of which the service is not increasing. So might be your own weakness. So these are the five different questions Baba has asked. Foreigners, brothers and sisters have asked, and Baba has answered. This Murli was in the same meditation hall. Right? Yeah. Here Baba was sitting, not me. So, two things. Baba is talking with two parties. First party. What did Baba say in that? Very nice thing. Hospitality. Offering hospitality to Maya. What does that mean? If you offer hospitality to Maya, you will become sad. So what is this hospitality, offering hospitality to Maya? What is this new thing? Baba said you should be in father's company. When you are in father's company, you will always have victory. If you are not in father's company, victory is not guaranteed. You may not have victory that time. So he is talking that Maya will come to you. Those children who are absorbed in the ocean of knowledge, of love, will remain uninfluenced by all the external factors. See, so what does this word mean? When you heard this Murli in the morning, what did you think about this? Anybody? Baba said offering hospitality to Maya means what? To allow, to come, to entertain, to provide accommodation, tea, coffee, cold drinks, and what else? Friendship. Yeah, guest friendship. That is another word for hospitality. To have guest friendship with Maya. So, for example, Maya, there is no person as such. So, Maya is vice, a weakness. So, that weakness comes to me and I start entertaining it, encouraging it. I take her for sightseeing. That's what we do for all the guests. We start showing them, we have this, we have that. We show them as much things as possible so that that person gets impressed. So, we want to impress Maya. Baba says, stop that. Otherwise you are stuck. You are stuck. You don't go ahead, you don't go back. You are stuck. And that's why the reason, again here he said, burn the seed. Burn the seed. So focus the whole day on burning this seed. You can convert this into a spiritual drill. Okay? What you can do is, this is my weakness. Suppose I feel jealous. The moment I find somebody going ahead of me, I start feeling jealousy. See that jealousy as an inhuman form, in the form of a devil or demon. Okay? And from my forehead, a powerful rays of light are going and burning that demon, that devil. Convert this into a drill. Visualize it. Ki whatever my meekness is there, that is assuming a human form, and all powers are coming out from my... You must have seen Indian mythological. So many things they show in that. A devi is standing like this and a person comes there and she does like this and some rays go out from there and he is burnt. So you can take help of this because we have to make our yoga very much entertaining. Okay? So, see the weakness and burn it. Every day you should burn it. Burn it every day. So that it doesn't arise at all. Whether it is jealousy, whether it is extra sensitivity, whether it is carelessness, whether it is laziness or some dislike for some particular. In one Murli, Baba said even to have preferences, that is a subtle form of vice. I like this, I don't like this. I like to be in his company, I don't like to be in her company. Even these preferences are forms of vices. So that is the first. Second party, Baba talked about dying alive, trustee, or liberation in life. He gave the example of bhakti. What is that example? Prasad. Jhatku they call it. One who is sacrificed in one goal. Only those prasad, those offering, holy offering is accepted, otherwise not. So you also become like that. These are the different groups. See, Baba is sitting here. Murli he finished, then one group came, he talked with them. Another group came, talked with that group. You can see this entire Murli happening in front of your eyes. In fact, these questions are not from this Murli, it's from some other Murli. It's from 14th March Murli, these questions. So, occupy your mind with this knowledge. Remembering Baba in one Murli, Baba had said, remembering him and remembering his knowledge are one and the same thing. Remembering Baba and remembering his knowledge, these are one and the same things. Sometimes it is difficult to remember that point of light, even to go out of this body, move out of this body and reach subtle world, and from subtle world to reach the Paramdham. So difficult. Even to try to remember what he has said is a sort of yoga that will connect you to him and connect you very strongly to him. So this is, and the last part I forget to tell, that is two things Baba has said: energy of actions, energy of thoughts. Power of actions, power of thoughts. But worldly souls do not understand this subtle energy of thoughts. This is so subtle, they don't understand. What you have to do, you have to show your powerful form. So from that, they will understand your, that subtle energy. I was giving one example in the morning. Suppose a group comes to Madhuban, suppose for some conference, and they are not given good accommodation. Okay? They are not given good food. Or if they ask for some help, they are scolded. Or nobody talks well properly with them. And then you make them sit in a room and give classes on Raj Yoga. How is that? Will they like? Will they love? No. And we say that we did mental service, Mansa Seva, to all of them. But we will continue to act in the way we act, according to the rules. If they ask for something, transport, we will say, hey, it is not there, go away. Or we don't talk nicely with them. So, worldly souls, outside souls, they don't understand this higher level of energy of thoughts. What they understand is actions. If you sit here and there is a natural calamity or flood around, and you say we are giving mental sakash or doing service, nobody will believe. You have to go and help them there. You have to go. Then only they will say, yeah. Because people don't consider yoga as a service. For them, blood donation, tree plantation and all these things are services. Or helping poor or feeding the poor. All these are services. But that's what Baba is saying. This entire Murli is upon actions. We saw the seven different forms actions we have to do. All actions done in soul consciousness, God consciousness, all actions according to Srimad, all actions according to selfless, all actions done with humility, with instrument and Trikaldarshi. These are the seven different forms with which you have to do all the actions. When you do actions like this, then people will understand, yes, they have something. They have some subtle energy, some subtle power within them. And then they will come to us, otherwise not. So, this is about today's Murli. Some of the questions I will give you, which you write down, which you have to churn, and then we end this session. First, have I imbibed all the powers? Have I imbibed all the powers and have become Master Almighty Authority? That is the first question. Second, slowly, okay. Have I imbibed all the powers? Have I become Master Almighty Authority? That is one. Second, do I use knowledge just as point or as weapon? Do I use knowledge just as points of knowledge, or as weapon? If not, how to use knowledge as weapon in the face of circumstances? how to use knowledge as weapon in the face of circumstances? That is the second question. Third, what are my weaknesses? My topmost three weaknesses. Those weaknesses, they have always challenged me after becoming a Brahmin. And I still get defeated by them. What are those my topmost three weaknesses? Fourth, how to burn the seed of those weaknesses. Fifth, what stage of yoga should I reach so that I get touchings from Bab Dada? What effort should I do so that my mind becomes so clean and clear that I start getting all those touchings from Baba? I don't have to rush to human beings now anymore. For every time I have a problem in life, let me catch somebody, let me phone somebody, let me mail somebody and ask the solution. My mind itself becomes so connected to him. So what effort should I do so that my mind becomes like that, so that I don't have to ask for anybody, take help from anybody? Let me have all the touchings from him. What should I do for that? That is one. Another, how I offer hospitality to Maya. Am I offering hospitality to Maya? If yes, in what manner? Or how I should stop that? Offering hospitality to Maya. So these are the few questions. Many can be there. You can churn more. But just for the sake of time, is getting up. So we'll end this class here. Okay? Om Shanti.